If you take a look at one of your social media feeds, you might be hard-pressed to find a post from more than a few hours or maybe even a few minutes ago. And that's no accident. Social media sites are designed to show us what's happening right now. But what happens when we're always focused on the present? Our guest says that could be a real problem and that by missing out on the bigger picture, we risk losing our ability to engage with some of the world's most complicated issues. Clive Thompson is a contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine and Wired, and the author of Smarter Than You Think, How Technology is Changing Our Minds for the Better. His recent piece for the magazine, This, is called Social Media is Keeping Us Stuck in the Moment. Clive, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, good to be here.
Well, and you write that social media platforms are designed around the idea of reverse chronology. That's kind of a key concept. Can you explain to us what that means?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you were to open up, you know, Twitter right now, if you have a Twitter account or, you know, pretty much any social media like Instagram or your Facebook newsfeed, generally what they do is they show you the latest thing that someone said or did. And then you scroll down. It's something that happened a little before that and a little before that. And it goes backwards in time. Like, it's always refreshing you with the most recent thing, something that just happened right now. And then it goes backwards in time. But, you know, it's very hard to sort of scroll back and see what happened. Like, I mean, if I were to, you know, look at my Twitter feed, it's really easy to see, you know, wow, someone said this 10 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago, 3 minutes ago. But really hard to find what happened, like, you know, yesterday or a few weeks ago. So reverse chronology is when you start with what's happening right now and you go backwards in time.
And last time we talked to you, looking at your book, you're pretty positive on a lot of the changes that technology has brought us. This one, though, this being stuck in the moment, has you worried. Why is that?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, generally, people always, you know, are very worried that technology is making us, shallow or narcissistic or whatnot. And I've always been a little less convinced of that because if you look at basic surveys of the American personality type, it hasn't really changed much at all in decades and decades. And these concerns about becoming like shallower are as old as the hills. But there is something different, I think, with the reverse chronology thing, insofar as this is the one thing that the technology does that's genuinely new, which is that it is constantly letting us know, hey, someone just said this, check it out, you know, stop what you're doing and go look at it. And that's very different from most other forms of media. The closest thing would be maybe like, you know, like kind of the way CNN started 20 years ago when they broadcasting 24 hours a day. And like, you know, it was a constant stream of here, this just breaking news, you know. But this is different because this is breaking kind of the breaking news of everyday life. Like, you know, your friend just said that, you know, or a celebrity you follow just said that. So it's like conversation. It's sort of like being stuck at a party where there's always something happening that you have to pay attention to, or someone saying something that they want you to respond to. And that is new, and that sort of worries me because I think you know, we humans are really attuned to the moment. In fact, it's very hard to get us out of the moment. It's our natural state is to live in the moment, you know, and that for good reasons. That, you know, survival skill, you know, over tens of thousands of years, pay attention to what's happening around you. But, you know, a lot of the way that we, when you have to manage any sort of a problem in your life, you know, whether that's in your life or in your work or whatnot, you have to sort of step back for a second and think about, you know, how you got in the situation, how to plan to get out of it, what to learn from the past. So anytime you want to deal with something that's complicated, it's better to sort of pull back from the moment a little bit. And I think this is the one thing that social media makes it very hard to do, is to pull back and consider what's going on in a more measured way.
Yeah, it's a perspective issue, it seems like. And I've been in this position, you know, even here at work, looking at Twitter to see what's going on. The bulk of my attention when I'm on Twitter is the thing that's there right now, the thing that's in this moment. And that may well not be the most important thing going on in the world, in my job, in my life.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's exactly right. I mean, sometimes I once thought, you know, in a way, one of the problems with social media is that it reminds me almost of like the 1960s concept of the happening, right? Where, you know, oh my God, you had to be there at Woodstock to sort of see what was going on. And if you missed that moment, oh man, you missed out on like this crazy thing that only the people who were there saw that. And there's this feeling I think people get from social media, reverse chronological social media, is that there's always a happening going on, you know? Like there's always some controversy or some funny thing that someone said or some witty thing that someone said, and everyone's responding to it. And it feels like this constant succession of happenings that you don't want to miss. And that, you know, it's very, you know, that can be a lot of fun, but you know, if it becomes the default setting for where you put your attention, now that's a problem because you're always reacting to something, you know, like, and you're always being reactive and being dragged around by circumstance instead of sort of trying to control your attention.
Talking to Clive Thompson about social media, he says the way it's structured, it leaves us stuck in the moment, and that has some bad outcomes potentially. We'll get into that. And Clive, in the piece we're talking about, you wrote about some media scholars of the past kind of tracing the development of more and more disposable forms of information. You carve something on a stone tablet, it's going to stick around for a while. You print it on a newspaper, it's relevant today, and then it's disposable. This has been accelerating, this news now that is gone tomorrow or in 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's right. I was very influenced by reading the communication scholar Harold Innes, who in the early 20th century, he got very concerned by the way that he saw modern media evolving. And for him, modern media was really just like the daily newspaper, right? I mean, you know, we think we've got troubles. You know, he was looking at the newspaper, and he was saying, you know, if you went back, you know, a thousand or, you know, or a couple thousand years, media was very slow moving because it was expensive and hard to make, right? So, you know, if you chiseled stuff on a cuneiform tablet, that stuff was going to be there for a long time. So, you know, information endured for a long time and people thought about stuff for a long time. You know, things began to speed up when you had paper because suddenly you could generate a lot more documents. And so you began to see the explosion of everyday communications that really for him went into overdrive with the daily newspaper, which is where you see our modern logic of news emerging, which is the idea that every day there will be a new set of circumstances for you to read and think about. And it's actually going to be kind of hard to go back in time. I mean, think about it. Like when the newspaper emerged in the early to mid 19th century, if you read your daily paper and threw it away, it was pretty hard to go back and figure out what happened the day before, right? Like that was the beginning of kind of the reverse chronologization, I guess, of society. And that really unsettled Innes. And he said, you know, This is trending in a bad direction because newspapers, the inherent logic of a newspaper is to say that what happened yesterday is gone. What happened last week is totally gone. What happened last decade, oh my goodness, that's gone. And who cares what happened, you know, a century ago? He saw it as a systematic erasure of history. Now, he was obviously being a little harsh on it. A lot of great things came out of newspapers, right? You know, like they were crucibles for a certain type of liberal democracy. So there was good stuff that I think he was sort of ignoring, but he was right. He was right about the drift towards being, you know, very focused on that kind of, you know, hey, this is happening. Drop everything and check it out. That really began with the newspapers and has accelerated dramatically with social media.
So while our minds are in the moment, what are we losing? What is hurting here because we're caught in the moment?
I think the main thing that's hurting is our ability to step back and connect the dots over time, because if you are being constantly discouraged from thinking about not just what happened 10 years ago, not just what happened last year, but what happened like yesterday, it becomes harder as a society to sort of think about how we got in some of the pickles we got into and thus how to plan for the future. I mean, if you think about it, every major social problem we've had has generally come from a combination of failing to heed the patterns of the past and failing to plan for the future, right? And you know, right now, if you were to think about what are some of the biggest social issues we have? Like some of the things like, you know, climate change, global warming. To take that one for one. Well, this is something that requires us to, you know, think carefully about what some plans that might go a few years, a few more years, a few decades out might be, and to talk about them soberly. And that is just a hard thing to do when you're getting dragged in 20 directions every day by the latest hot take on something that Trump said, or something that, you know, a celebrity said, or something even that your friends said, right? Planning, I think, is what goes by the wayside, you know, the more we get moored in the present.
Clive Thompson is with us. He writes about how technology affects everyday life. He says social media keeps us stuck in the present, in the moment, and that's a problem for our future. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been there on your Twitter feed, on your Facebook feed? Do you feel like social media has you focused on the present moment? Is it harder for us to think as individuals, as a society, about long-term trends, lessons from the past, lessons for the future? And how do you in your life take a step back and get some history, some context, some perspective? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Clive Thompson, contributing writer at Wired and the New York Times Magazine, looking at how social media keeps us locked, he says, in the present moment, and that affects the way we think about the world's big issues. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about how your Facebook or Twitter feed is laid out? Always, almost always, the newest stuff right up at the top. Do you get sucked in? Do you like when you've gotten sucked in like that, to spend a lot of time? Do you feel like you're having a hard time thinking about the big picture? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Doug is on the line in Stevens Point. Doug, hi.
I got tons to say about it, but I'll try to keep it quick. Because I had Facebook and whatnot until probably about 4 years ago, and I deleted everything, and I've been free of it all, and it's been awesome. I used to get so caught up in all the political arguments and then trying to make my point and realizing that I'm just arguing back and forth for no reason, because it's not like anybody actually cared about my point. But I think that because it's so instantaneous, it causes us to use our emotional reactions to react to things instead of when we're able to give some time and thought about stuff, we wouldn't emotionally react. So because of that, it keeps our emotions wound up more often, more of the time, because of all these things going on that either upset us or whatever. And I didn't know if you had talked about that at all or not before. But
Doug, thanks for the call. We haven't. Clive, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he's really onto something there. I mean, the thing about social media is that it is it has essentially conversational dynamics, right? Like it's not like sitting down and responding to a letter someone wrote to you. It's not even like responding to an article someone wrote. It has a little bit of the sort of to and fro of conversation. And so the problem is, you know, conversation triggers, I think, a lot of those, you know, senses of great immediacy. Like, well, I've got to resolve this right now, right now, right now. I have to sort of talk about this right now. And that can sort of, you know, get exactly into the cycle this gentleman's talking about. And sometimes I thought, I'm old enough to have remembered, you know, kind of flame wars and discussion boards and whatnot. So, you know, some of this stuff is very, very old. It's not that new. But there is an extent to which, you know, some of the old school discussion boards that I used to frequent back in the 90s, they had kind of a slower pace because there was no news feed telling you the instant someone posted something. Like you might have gone to a board and, you know, said something and said hello and then gone away and come back, you know, a day later, discover someone had said something. So there was kind of a slightly slower, almost like playing a game of chess pace to the conversation. And I sometimes think this, you know, is really something we ought to be aiming to look for more in our modern social media, something that actually intentionally slows down the pace so as to not get in those emotional loops that this gentleman is talking about.
Doug, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Bill on the line in Greendale. Bill, hi.
Hi, great conversation. I think the previous caller stole mine in a way, because I was going to say it's just a different take on the moment. Like you're saying, we're too much in the moment, and I take you saying it meaning I'm too much in that media moment. But I do think, for me and for a lot of us, social media, if we don't watch, it can take us away from our present experience, like looking up from the cell phone, I mean, maybe it's a generational thing with me, but I know I have something to share to a lot of the young folk who just, it's just so taking away from the moments that I think I and other people could have.
Bill, thanks for that call. And this is a complaint we hear a lot, a bit different than this piece, Clive, but it's an issue I think you've talked about elsewhere, the idea that by having our moments mediated by social media, we're not directly experiencing them enough.
Yeah, I mean, like, I definitely think it's true that, like, if it's that type of thing where, like, you know, you go through, like, the art gallery looking at everything through your phone and not actually with your eyes, you know, and I think that, I mean, I've done that, right? You know, I mean, I know what that feels like. I think that's true. I definitely think that it is, it's good to not always be experiencing life thinking, like, how am I going to tweet or Facebook about this? Although, I mean, like, you know, the flip side of it is, there is an extent, the reason why we like these tools, the reason why we like them, partly because these companies have spent a huge amount of time trying to get us addicted with these casino-like, you know, mechanisms of reverse cron. But there's also legitimate things we find useful and delightful. Like when I say that they are a conversational form of media, I sort of mean that as a compliment, that like there are types of conversations that we can have that you could never really have before because you weren't able to communicate over a long distance or to communicate over a long period of time, like to have a threaded conversation that goes on for days. This is a really powerful, interesting thing. So the way I always look at this is I'm like, these are all really design challenges. You know, you could easily redesign each of these services to ease back on the addictiveness of the here and now and to encourage people to be a little more deliberate. They're not doing it because there's a lot of money to be made in just keeping people constantly glued to their screens. But there are lots of other ways you could design these spaces. And that's that is really where I would love to see society move towards. It's hard to figure out how to get there because the companies are making a lot of money as they are right now. And I don't think they have any incentive to change, if you know what I mean.
Thanks, Bill, for that call. We're talking to Clive Thompson about social media. He says it's keeping our attention stuck in the moment. We're having a hard time, he worries, putting things in context. And Clive, I want to get a little more into your ideas, your hopes for something to make it work better. You wrote about, let's see if I have this right, when that instant thing comes up, that latest piece of news, why not something that scours out there and finds a 10-year-old article that's relevant or a 100-year-old academic thing or some kind of historical precedent.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, we have – this is my point about – in a weird way about designing these spaces. Like there's nothing inevitable about the way that Twitter or Facebook are designed. They intentionally said – we think we can get people to click on more stuff if we do this reverse cron. And, you know, that's great for their business model, but it's not necessarily good for society. So you start to think, well, let's have some fun with this. Let's think, how would you design a social network that actually encouraged us to think not just about this moment, but about other relevant moments in the past? Well, you know, yeah, one thing you could do is you could say, well, you know, what if when you posted something, it found other interesting comments, like the most interesting comments that have been said on that subject from previous weeks, years, months, even of your own? What if it tried to surface really interesting, you know, articles, you know, from the distant past and tried to connect them to the trajectory of your current thinking? You know, we have all these computers, we have these algorithms that we can design to do all sorts of different things that do very exciting and I think intellectually daring things. And so I was trying to encourage readers to sort of think a bit about themselves and imagine or envision what a different and better social media experience might be like.
Let's go back to our callers. We've got Angela with us in La Crosse. Angela, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
What do you think?
Well, basically, just kind of adding to what some other listeners have said, social media used very intentionally is one of the greatest unifiers of all, that we can unify with people not only in our surrounding community but around the world. But it's also one of the biggest dividers because of people at the same table can be in completely separate places and never really aware of one another. So I really think that it can definitely take away from the present moment, but it also can create historical movements because we can join together instantaneously with people that we've never met. So it's both.
Angela, thanks a lot for the call. And Clive, as we wrap up, kind of following on what Angela said, how can we, assuming that social media companies aren't going to fix this all tomorrow, how can we as users engage with it in a more positive way, just in our last minute
and
a half or so?
Sure. I mean, I that's a great question. The caller is exactly right. There are amazing things that come out of a more intelligent and mindful use of social media. I think a few things you can do are, one is pay a little more attention to how long you're using it for, right? You regard it as a place to go to read and find out what's going on, have conversations, but not just to stew in it all day long. I sometimes set a little timer for myself. Like, I'm going to do like 20 minutes of Twitter here, but then I'm going to go back and do other stuff. And it makes me be a little more judicious with it, makes me a little more thoughtful. So I think just paying attention to how much time you're there and why you're there is the first step to sort of reclaiming a little bit of your attention and using these spaces for the remarkable powers they have.
And then we can maybe take that time and use it for the bigger picture?
Absolutely. And, you know, frankly, while you're at it, hey, you know, write a letter. Write, you know, whenever Twitter or Facebook says, how are we doing? Write them a note and say, guys, this reverse cron thing, this constant hankering at us to look at the moment, let's think of a better way. You know, I think if enough people started really pushing at them, they might start to take attention to that.
Clive, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I had fun. Take care.
That's Clive Thompson. He's the author of the book Smarter Than You Think, How Technology is Changing Our Minds for the Better. He's talking to us today about a way that technology could be changing our minds for a bit worse. He says social media keeps us stuck in the present moment, and that can hurt our ability to engage with complex problems as individuals and as a society. Still time for you to share your thoughts on this moment. You can do that over at the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Have you changed the way you use social media or cut out social media for some of the reasons our guest has been talking about? Let us know. Well, I guess you can't do that at the Ideas Network Facebook page.